Today's scripture and sermon will be from Exodus 23. Words are in your bulletin and on the screen. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and bring to you the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none of you will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. I will send my terror ahead of you and will throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, Canaanites, and Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the desert to the Euphrates River. I will give you into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them or their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church family. It's good to be with you. Tom, or let me add my welcome to Tom's and to Henry's. Thank you all for leading so faithfully. I'd be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to say thank you for this church. I don't know if you knew this, but this is one of our last weeks here. It's kind of a bit sad, but I'm so glad I get to preach with you. And so I just want to say thank you for the community that this church has been for my wife and for me. A church that loves the gospel and loves each other, that loves justice and Jesus. A church that invests in its own people, but also the nations. And so I'm really thankful to be a part of this community over the last 3 years or so, 2.5. Who's counting anyway, right? One thing I've realized over those years is that life is kind of unexpected. If you had told 17-year-old me that I would be having two kids in Philadelphia who love the Eagles and the Eagles would win a Super Bowl, I wouldn't have believed it. There's just so many unexpected things, but I think that's how life goes. Nobody's born with a map. We don't get a map in our hands when we come into the world. It's not like Dora the Explorer, right? You know, as much as I love that show and her magical adventures, there's no magical map that can tell us where to go. We don't get a map when we come into this world. But I would argue today that we get something better. Is that better? Maybe better sound? We get something better than a map. We get a presence. And so today in our passage, there's a few things I want us to see, a few things that I think God has to show to us. And so maybe you can relate to that, not having a map. As a first-time parent, maybe you were handed a baby and they said, here you go, figure it out. Or navigating your first career, they never taught you how to move up in the corporate world. Or maybe trying to figure out love for the first time. They don't give you a manual or a map for that. And in the same position as Israel today in our passage. Israel has just received the most comprehensive legal code of the ancient Near East. Chapters 21 to 23 are just filled with laws for the nation state of Israel. And after all of that, standing at the edge of a wilderness with enemies ahead and a future they cannot see, God does not give the people of Israel a map or a strategy. He gives them his presence. In a short way, this passage is the entire Christian life summarized. While we don't have a magical map like Dora, we do have the presence of God that speaks to us day by day, that leads us day by day. And in our passage, I want to show us three ways in which the character of God is revealed to us through this passage. And so first, God, oh, by the way, I've changed the sermon title to God Goes Before Us. We don't have a map for these things, right? And so we've changed the title. Some things have changed since then. I was going to preach a whole lot about the law and help you figure it out. But if you have questions about the judicial law, come and ask me afterwards. I've done a lot of research on that. But I don't think that's what God wants to show us today. And so point number one, he goes before us. Look with me at verses 21 and 23 again. It says this, "See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to a place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you to bring you into the land." This angel is no mere messenger. God's own name is in him. In the ancient Near East, the name is really important. It was the essence of who a person was. That name was like a seal that could be carried. And so here, the angel of the Lord guards and fights for the people of God, and he promises to bring them to a place that God has prepared for them. Israel's arrival in the land doesn't depend on their courage. It depends on their God, who's walking ahead of them. Often in the West, we can look for a guru or a guide or a coach or an influencer who can tell us what to do. We look for techniques to ensure that we won't fail. We look for practices more than we look for presence. But God doesn't offer us a guide in the same way. God offers us something more extreme, something different. He doesn't offer us a plan. He offers us a person. He doesn't offer you practices, 12 rules for life, or some other way. Tom, should I switch to this other mic? Would that be easier?
He doesn't. Oh yeah, that sounds much better. He doesn't offer us a plan or practice, 12 rules for life, or some sort of holy living plan. He offers you his presence and his person. He doesn't offer you guidance. He offers you God himself. Have any of you guys learned a new board game in the last year or so? You know how arduous it can be, right? To break out that thick rule book, to set up the table, to learn the intricacies so that you can beat your kids at that game. I hate learning new board games on my own. I hate reading rule books. It's really not that fun. But I love it when someone else knows the game and walks me through it. They teach me all the rules. Even if they're teaching me the wrong rules, I don't care. Whatever they're teaching me, I don't have to do it on my own. Their presence makes the difference in learning that game. And so it is with God. You don't have to navigate life with only a rule book. God has given us his law, surely and truly, but he's also giving us his presence, which will guide us into all truth. And this is what the people of Israel are discovering in this moment. And that's the same thing that we have to discover today in Christ. Israel was given an angel. For us, that angel, the living God himself, became flesh for us. He walked in the wilderness himself, and he went all the way ahead of us into death itself and out the other side. The God of the universe walked through the wilderness for you. He faced the hardest things you'll ever face. And he's already on the other side waiting, and he's already with you today. The scriptures remind us that he has not left us. He is with us till the end of the age. And so today, the God who's gone before Israel is the same God who goes before us. Whatever you're facing today, God has gone before you, and he is with you. He is leading you. And secondly, God tells us to stop leaving things standing. He calls us to worship him truly. And so let's look at the second point here from verses 24 and 26. It says this, "Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and will not. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry or be barren in your land. And I will give you a full lifespan. God doesn't warn Israel most urgently about military defeat. He doesn't say, hey, watch out for the Canaanites and the Hittites. They're going to attack you. Rather, God calls to mind their worship. He warns them about the things they leave standing when they win the promised land. You see, for us, nobody falls all at once. None of us wake up and decide to abandon the things that we were taught as children. But slowly, little by little, we leave a few altars standing here and there. We make small covenants with things of this world that God told us to tear down. And slowly and quietly, what you tolerate becomes what you worship. The nations are left, and they don't conquer Israel through military might, but through seduction, through the pleasurable things. Seduction is a forever play of Satan. If you look at the book of Revelation, you can see over and over the Antichrist in seduction, but that's a different sermon. Comfort and security in the place of trust. Ourself is the highest authority above God. Screen time replacing slowness and stillness. Political tribe as a source of righteousness. Romantic love bearing the weight only God could carry. Spirituality without accountability to God. All of these ways that we're seduced to live in the way of the world. And so the question isn't if you have a seduction, but what is your seduction? How is the world enticing you to follow its ways? The entire history of the Old Testament is this warning played out in slow motion. Israel slowly seduced to nothing. They needed someone who would not do that, who would not accommodate the culture, would hold the line where the sons of Adam had failed. And for us, Christ is that son, the faithful Israel who did hold the line. And so even for us who are seduced by the world, the call is always to come back to Christ, the one who was faithful, the one who did it perfectly. And in a sense, the call comes to us as his redeemed people, who are called to not leave anything standing, no injustice in the world, no idolatry in our hearts. God has called us to be faithful to his people and to himself. And so Christ in this way does this. He frees us from the law in a sense, but he also frees us to fulfill the law. And so point number two is that Christ calls us to worship him alone, exclusively to worship God. He goes before us and he calls us to exclusive worship. And lastly, Christ and God work little by little. Read with me verses 27 and 31. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter, and I will make your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you and drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. And I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, from the desert to the Euphrates River. I will give into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. God could have given the Israelites the promised land in a night. He could have given it to them in a day, but he chooses not to. And my question is, why is that? That's because Israel wasn't ready to inhabit the land. Today, God gives us more than just a piece of land on the earth. He gives us his kingdom. He's chosen a slow and steady inauguration for that at his own pace. Recently, my dad, he had surgery on his right knee. They needed to do both of them at the same time. And I said, Dad, why don't you just do both of them at the same time? And he said, because then I couldn't walk for like a whole year. I said, that's a really good point. That's really smart. I did not think of that. The reason surgeons don't do all the surgery all at once is because they know what your body can handle. At least I hope they do, if they have good judgment. The reason surgeons don't perform surgery all at once is because our bodies can't handle that kind of trauma. And so they prioritize and they plan recovery because they understand what you can bear. And in the same way, the wilderness that we inhabit today in the world that we live in America 2026, isn't an obstacle to our destination. Rather, the wilderness is making us more into the person who can inhabit this land. For all that we have to stand against in the world and all that we have to stand for in the world, the wilderness is actually doing something in our own life so that we could inhabit that kingdom in the future. It's changing us. It's affecting us so that we could become more like Christ, conform to his image, as Romans 8 says. And this is still how the kingdom comes to us today, little by little. Not in a moment, not by force, not by you finally getting everything right. But little by little, the sovereign wisdom of God knows what he is doing, and he's never left a single person behind that he promised to bring home. And so for parents with children who have maybe gone waywardly, remember this promise. Little by little, God is working in their life. He's working in your life. For the doubters in the room, little by little, God will reveal himself to you. For those grieving injustice, trust that God is bringing his kingdom, although little by little. And so, church, for those in Christ, let me ask you, where are you trying to force what only God can do? Where have you grown so impatient with his pace that you started making peace with the gods he's told you to drive out? The gods of financial success, the gods of sex, the gods of power. The invitation, to be sure, is not to try harder, but to trust deeper into this angel, the Christ who's gone before us, the firstborn over a new creation, the first among many brothers and sisters, the first of a little by little harvest. And so in conclusion, Israel couldn't keep the commandments. They couldn't follow all the laws God had given. Very soon, they abandon all that God has done and go after the gods of other nations. They lost the land. They lost the covenant with God, or at least they broke it. But God was faithful to keep his covenant, and the angel, the presence, did not abandon his people. In fact, he came and he walked in the wilderness. He held the line perfectly against every temptation. He bore the full weight of a broken covenant and rose as the first fruits of everything good that God has promised to the world. The conquest is his. The inheritance is Christ. And he is still right now going before you. Wherever you're headed this week, God goes before you. There's no map to this life. And that's part of the adventure. In a big, beautiful world where you could move to Sri Lanka or Sioux Falls, there's no plan. God has given you that in your own heart to decide, but he does go with you to tell you what is morally right and true and beautiful and just. And so take heart wherever he's leading you, however scary it might be, God is with you. Little by little, as we follow him through death and all the way home. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your little by little plan, that you saved us, you guide us, and you call us to exclusive worship in you. Lord, today would you make us a faithful people that follow you and you alone, against the gods that are born here in America, against the gods in our own hearts. Lord, would you help us to follow you truly. With all the saints across the world, those who will inherit the earth, Lord, we trust that you will lead us. In your holy name, amen.